This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله ومصطفاه نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. Hadith number 110 in the chapter that deals with tayammum, the dry ablution or the purification using the soil, was read last time we met, and Brother Mustafa will remind us again with this hadith.
Narrated Ammar bin Yasir radiyallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent me on an errand. Then I became junub from seminal emission in my sleep. I did not find water, so I rolled on the soil like an animal does to perform tayammum. Then I returned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and mentioned that to him. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "It would have been sufficient for you to do with your hands this way." He then struck his hands once on the soil and then rubbed the left hand on the right and the exterior part of his palms and his face. In a narration of Al-Bukhari, he, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, struck the earth with his palms, both hands, and then blew off the dust and rubbed both of his palms over his face and hands.
The hadith, again, if you recall, we said that tayammum is one of the things that tells you that it's not everything that is logical that we should apply in our lives, because Islam is a religion of submission, and you have to submit your will to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal by applying the Quran and the Sunnah to your life without questioning, without asking why. It's like wearing gold. It's forbidden for men. Why? You're not allowed to ask. You have to comply. It's exactly like when someone says that you have to have a visa to this country to travel. You don't have the right to go to the embassy and say, "Why? I want to travel without a visa. Why should I buy a ticket? I want to go into on the plane without buy." It's something that you have to follow, whether you know the wisdom and logic behind it or not. Now, the origin of tayammum is in the Quran, where Allah Azza wa Jal says, what translates roughly to, "But if you are ill or on a journey, or one of you answers the call of nature, or you have been in contact with women," that is sexual intercourse, "and you find no water, then take for yourselves clean sands or earth and rub therewith your faces and hands." Now, is it intended that we dirt our faces? No, because the Prophet ﷺ blew in his hands after striking the ground, which meant that he removed all particles that were on his hand by blowing in them. And from this verse and from this hadith, we learn that the soil, the ground, suffice in case of the absence of water. You can perform dry ablution if you don't have water, or if you are ill, as mentioned in the verse read to you a while ago. And this is whether you are performing ablution or you're performing total and obligatory bath. It's the same thing. If you don't have water for either, you can perform the dry ablution, or you can perform a tayammum. Do we have any questions, or should we move on to the following hadith? Brother Mustafa.
How is tayammum performed exactly? Do you wipe your hands first? Wash your face or hands first?
As it states in the hadith, you strike once the ground. And this is a point that one should also pay attention to. Imagine you are on a mountainous area, and it's all rocks. Some people think that you should only hit the soil or sand. This is not true. Whatever is on the surface, you can use it. So, as-sa'id al-tahir al-tayyib, whatever is on the surface. So if you are in a mountainous area, if you are on a rocky ground, you can hit the rocks. Strike the rocks, strike the soil, strike the grass. You don't have to take off the grass and, you know, dig in and look for... No, you don't have to do it. All what you have to do is hit it. It's a symbolic thing. It's a symbolic thing. It doesn't have any water in it or something that you cover your body with. No. And likewise, if a person was in a hospital, God forbid, he's hospitalized and he's unable to go to the toilet to perform ablution, and he has no one to serve him and to bring him water, or he has something wrong with his body, or, you know, with all these tubes and gadgets connected to him, he cannot wash himself. So he may use the dry ablution, tayammum. But he also does not have anyone to bring him anything. So he can easily hit the bed, hit the pillow. If he can go to the walls, he can hit the walls of the room. And this is enough and sufficient. Now, whether to begin with the hands or with the face, it's all the same. See, the waw is waw al-atf. When you say that, and he wiped his palms and his face, or wiped his face and his palms, it's the same thing. The thing is that you do this, you wipe your face, you wipe your hands, or the opposite, it's inshallah the same thing. And there is nothing, according to what I know, that implies that you have to do it in this sequence. And Allah knows best. The following hadith, hadith 111.
Narrated by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with them. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tayammum, meaning purifying with the soil, consists of two strikings of the soil, one for the face and one for the hands, up to the elbows.
Okay, this hadith is not authentic, so we should not elaborate a lot on it. Why is it unauthentic? The chain of narrators, it's weak. And the meaning also is weak, because the other stronger and authentic hadith all say that you strike the floor or the ground how many times? Only once. So by adding another one, it has to be authentic. If it's not, then why should we do it? One would argue and say, why not? What would I lose if I strike the ground another time? Okay, what would you lose if you strike the ground 10 times? 10 times is better than 2 times. And why not 100 times? Islam tells you to do this, and it forbids you to increase or decrease, because both sides are called innovation, bid'ah. So you have to stick to the Quran and Sunnah. One would say, yes, but it doesn't harm anyone. It does. It does harm you. Because the minute you think that I may add something in religion, this is an accusation from your side to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he did not fulfill his mission and he did not teach us everything. Why? Because you're adding to him, which means that he didn't complete it. And whenever you say that, no, this is too much, I'm not going to do it, instead of praying for rak'ah every Isha, I'm going to make it 2. Why? It's too long for rak'ah. Why should I do it this way? Or Maghrib is 3 rak'ahs. It's the only odd number in the 5 prayers. So either make it 4 or take 1 and make it 2. It's your choice. You can choose whatever. This is unacceptable, because you're changing the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. No innovation would be accepted. So it's only once that you strike the ground. It's the same thing when Satan comes to you, or to someone else, not to you. when Satan comes to someone and tells him, why only perform ablution 3 times for each part of your body? Why not make it 5? Cleanliness is next to whatever they call it. Cleanliness is good. So let's do it. No, it's not good. You're not cleaning. You're performing ablution. Keep this in your mind. When you're performing ablution, you're not cleaning your body. You're following the instructions of Allah. And that is why if there's no water, you follow the instruction of Allah and strike the floor or the ground and dust your face and hands. So you have to always keep in mind that only authentic hadiths we should follow. Unauthentic, weak, we do not want to even look into them because they do not add any value to us unless, and this is a speciality of the scholars of hadith, unless this da'if or weak hadith has another way which makes both of them become hasan. And we don't want to go into details of this as it's a little bit of our line and league. The following hadith 112.
Narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the soil is a means of ablution for a Muslim believer, even if he does not find water for 10 years. But when he finds water, he should guard against disobeying Allah. Reported by Al-Basr.
Okay, this is a Hasan hadith, so it's authentic, it's acceptable. Abu Hurairah, brother Zaki, do you know what his real name is? You remember it?
No.
We mentioned it 3 or 4 programs, 10, 20 programs ago, God knows when. Without cheating, without referring to your notes, does anybody know? Abu Malik? Abdurrahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi. And Daws is one of the tribes of the southern part of the Arabian Peninsula. It's a part of the Zahrani tribe. And he converted to Islam or reverted to Islam on the 7th year of Hijrah on the day of Khaybar. Fi Aami Khaybar. He tells us that the Prophet ﷺ is showing and instructing us that dry ablution, tayammum, is exactly as good as ablution with water. So it's not something that is made for a while. It's a temporary thing. No, as long as you cannot use water, you may use it, the tayammum, even if it's for 10 years. But once you find water, you have to stop and refrain from using the soil and use water. And this is the hadith that tells us so. Now, some scholars say that you have to perform tayammum for every prayer. Why? They say that, let me go back a little bit. Should I perform ablution for every prayer, Rushdie?
No. Except if you, if you...
nullify
al-wudu. Yeah.
Okay, that's true. I don't have to perform ablution for every single prayer. As long as my wudu, my ablution is intact, and I did not do anything to nullify it, then I may pray. Now, some scholars say tayammum is different. And why is that? They say that tayammum is a substitute to ablution. So it's not independent by itself. Therefore, every single salah, we have to perform a tayammum again until we find water. Is this authentic? Is it not authentic? This is what we will learn, inshallah, after the pause. So stay tuned. We will be right back, inshallah.
Back to the Prophet. Join Sheikh Amar in the program Back to the Prophet, wherein he teaches us practical lessons from the Prophet's life and how this can help us to overcome our challenges in the present.
We talk about the life example of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, seeking guidance for ourselves. In the early days after the revelation of the Holy Quran, the Muslims were greatly persecuted, so much so that quite a few Muslims had to leave Arabia and migrate to Africa to live among Ahl Kitab, Christian people who followed the Gospel of Christ.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. Brother Zaki, can you remind us again with the hadith, please?
Yes. Narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The soil is a means of ablution for the Muslim believer, even if he does not find water for 10 years. But when he finds water, he should guard against disobeying Allah and let it touch his skin."
Okay. We stopped by saying that some scholars consider tayammum as a substitute that is used when needed, but not as an alternative, which means that you may use it only for this particular worship. So they say, if you want to pray, perform tayammum. But if you want to read the Quran, perform tayammum to it again. And when the other prayer is being called for, then your previous tayammum is void automatically. You have to perform another tayammum. This hadith, or this verdict of scholars, is not authentic. The authentic thing is that tayammum is actually, it is an alternative when you don't have water, and it fully substitutes the absence of water. Which means that if Fajr prayer is being called for, I perform tayammum, I pray Fajr. If I did not nullify my wudu, or if I did not nullify my purity, I may read the Quran, I may perform tawaf, I may even wait until it's Dhuhr prayer and pray Dhuhr with the same previously made tayammum. I don't have to do it again. And this could go on for 10 years. You can substitute it completely and make tayammum in the absence of water, or in the case that you may cannot use or touch water touches your skin, even if it was for 10 years, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Now in the following hadith number 113, we have an extra bit of information, which is, what happens if a person performs tayammum and then after 5 or 10 minutes after he has prayed, he found water? Must he repeat the salah again as long as he is still within the time boundaries? The second or the following prayer was not called for yet. So should I pray it again, or the prayer that I've done is enough? This, inshallah, we will find the answer for in Hadith 113.
Narrated by Abu Sayyid al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, two men set out on a journey, and when the time for salat, meaning prayer, came, they had no water. They performed tayammum with clean earth and prayed. Later on, they found water within the time of the prayer. One of them repeated the prayer and ablution, but the other did not repeat. Then they came to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and related the matter to him, addressing himself to the one who did not repeat. He said, "You followed the sunnah, and your prayer was sufficient for you." He said to the other who performed ablution and repeated, "For you, there is a double reward."
Now, this hadith shows us that if you put some effort, Allah will reward you for that effort. But if you are lazy and don't put any effort at all, Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish you for that, and you will have to repeat the worship you've done again. Let me give you an example. A man goes to another country. he doesn't know where the Qibla is. So he looks around in his hotel room where he's living, and he thinks that this wall looks very nice. The Qibla is there. And he prays. Now, is this acceptable?
No.
Why is that? Because he did not do any effort. Then what should have he done? He should have gone downstairs and asked the receptionist where the Qibla is. And if he's in a non-Muslim country, he should ask where the east or west is so that he could determine where the Qibla is. Or he should have called the Islamic Center and told them where he is and asked them to give him the directions. But, or the least he could have done was to go out in the open, look at the sky, try to determine the directions by looking at the sun. But by not doing this, then his prayer is invalid. And he has to repeat the prayer again. Even if he prayed 10 times, he has to repeat them all again. Now, if a person does the effort, but he fails in achieving the objective and what he wanted, in the same scenario, a person goes to the hotel, he asks the receptionist, they tell them that the east is this way, so he calculates it and figures out that the Qibla is a little bit to the south. And he prays accordingly. And after a week or two, he discovers that the receptionist was wrong, and the east was this way, which meant that all the time that he had prayed was to the wrong direction. Must he repeat it again? The answer is no. Why is that? Because he did all what he can do. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, no matter where you face, your prayer will reach Allah Azza wa Jal. حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَأَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. And the east and west is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, providing you put some effort into it. But in the first scenario, the guy did not even care where the Qibla was. And he prayed in any direction. So this is unacceptable. Likewise, these are two men traveling. And they all perform salah with tayammum. But after a while, like 5-10 minutes, they find water. So one of them say, well, I've already prayed. I shouldn't pray it again. The other one said, well, as long as we are still within the prayer time, this prayer we've done 5 or 10 minutes ago should be void, and we should perform ablution as long as we have water and pray. The Prophet ﷺ told the first one who did not repeat the prayer, what you've done was correct. Because at the time, the only available source of purification was tayammum. The only available source of purification was tayammum. Now, after you prayed and you did your best, whatever comes afterwards does not count. And the Prophet told the other one who performed ablution and gave the matter some thought, and he figured out that this is the best thing to do, he told him that you will have your reward doubled. Because you've done this twice, you've prayed twice. Now the question is, Abu Malik, if it happens to you, what would you do? Would you choose the double reward?
Well, it depends on my situation, you know.
It's the same situation.
Same situation.
You're stranded in the desert, the prayer has been called for, you look for water, and you don't find it, you perform tayammum, and you pray. And immediately after you finish prayer, it rains. And there's this bucket next to you, it's filled with water.
Really, you know, usually, you know, before I read this hadith, I'll probably, you know, just pray this, you know, not pray. But okay. After I read this hadith, you know, there's a double reward there, so inshallah, I would probably pray again.
Pray it again. Do you agree all? Let's take the vote of the United Nations Security
depends,
Council.
I think. If we repeat it's okay because it's based on this hadith.
Okay.
According to this hadith, it's right. But if we feel tired, you know, we can just leave it because it's right.
Okay. Do you agree? Do you have the consensus of scholars or Mustafa?
Maybe doing the sunnah itself, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the first man, the first companion, that what you have done is the sunnah. So maybe...
No, it's not maybe.
So...
It's definitely.
Definitely it's...
This is the right thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the first one who did not pray, you did the right thing, you did the sunnah. And he told the other one who could not figure out the sunnah, because he didn't, because if they both knew the sunnah, they would have followed it, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't know. Everyone took his choice, hoping that this is the right thing. So the first one, he got lucky. He was the one following the sunnah. The other one, on the other hand, was not following the sunnah, yet he was rewarded because he didn't know the sunnah and he put some effort into it. So if we were to be in their shoes now, we do not repeat the prayer. One says, okay, what happens if I do repeat the prayer? We will tell him that you have done something that conflicts with the sunnah. And the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is not to repeat it again. Now, this hadith tells us that, or shows us, how the companions of the Prophet ﷺ used to inquire about every single detail. Because if we were in their shoes, we would have done it and forgot it. I get questions from people asking me about events that took place 10 years ago. I got a brother called and said, Sheikh, 10 years ago I performed Hajj and I didn't do the following thing. So is it okay or not? And I've asked the brother, were you in a coma? Or were you traveling in space or something? 10 years, it took you 10 years to ask the question, and I live next door to you? I said, well, I didn't think it was that important. And he figured out that it's about time he asks the question about his Hajj. And to his luck, his Hajj was invalid. The thing he did invalidated his Hajj. And he only knew 10 years afterwards. The companions were not like this. Whenever they had a problem, whenever they had something, they immediately went to the Prophet and checked it out, just to know exactly if it's okay or not okay. And this is how we Muslims should behave. We have so many new things coming up. You know, transactions, finance, inventions. And we have to ask, inquire about our knowledge in order for us to know our deen. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have for today's program. And until we meet next time, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.